Good morning. And yeah, so as Dan shared, I'll be continuing on in Ephesians chapter 4. But as you have your Bibles, if you are turning there, it was a neat week and a neat couple of weeks getting ready for this. And the passages that we've been looking at in Ephesians, it's been a neat experience. It's been a neat challenge as well. And we had a great challenge last week with our brother Dan sharing from verses 26 to 27, or 17 to 27, about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Like laying aside things that would cause us to stumble, would hinder our walk, and putting on Christ, putting on the new man in righteousness. And it was such a great challenge. And part of what we're going to be looking at today takes that even further in one aspect of our walk with the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, verse 28. But I do want to read verses 22 to 24 because it flows well with what Dan shared last week and into today. And so in Ephesians 4, 22, it reads, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this is kind of going to lead into what we're going to be looking at today. And that point of putting off the old man, putting off the deceitful lust, the old desires, and putting on the new man is really the fulcrum, really, that Dan shared with it being last week. And it kind of encapsulates everything that we're going to be looking at today in regards to verse 28, which we're going to look at right now. So in Ephesians 4, verse 28, we read, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let's just continue. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer as we begin looking at this one verse. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us here this morning. And what a joy it is that we're here gathered with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here this morning to remember you, to praise you, to worship you, and to learn from you, Lord. And Father, I know that in getting ready for this morning, there is a great challenge for me, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, that there would be a challenge for each and every one of us here this morning, that you would either challenge us or remind us of your truths, Lord. And Father, we just want you to be honored. We want you to be glorified. And even Father, we want your Son to be at the center. We want your Son to be the main thing that we're thinking about this morning, Lord. And in a short while too, Lord, we're going to be remembering him, remembering his death, his resurrection, his life, his ascension. And Father, he's the reason that we're here, Lord. So Father, I just pray that you would speak through me, that there would be a reminder or a challenge or an encouragement for each and every one of us, Lord. So we give you thanks for your Son, and we ask for your help. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as we get into this verse, Ephesians 4:28, I'm also reminded of 2 Corinthians 5:17 and how it reads, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that as well leads right into from what Dan shared last week about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And here we're given this challenge here in Ephesians 4:28, and we're going to be looking at four aspects of this verse. We're going to be looking at things that we shouldn't be doing with the first part of this verse, let him who steal, who stole no, steal no more. So that's going to be our first point. Our second point is going to be what we should be doing. So that encapsulates the last part of the verse of working, of like doing things with our hands, working that which is good in order that we have means to give to those who are in need. And then the third point that we're going to look at is, what does this look like in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer, and just in our life in general? And then the last thing we'll look at is a warning. And so, beginning with point one, so if you're titling this message, we could really compare it with, title it, comparing stealing the old nature, the old man, with the new man working to give to those who are in need. So the first part of the verse, let him that stole steal no more. We might be asking ourselves, what are ways that we have stolen in the past? Or what are things that, what does this look like in the world that we're living in? And no, this isn't when someone steals second base or third base or home in baseball. It's a completely different thing. And so the first thing that we can think of when we think of someone stealing, it's taking something that doesn't belong to them. Secondly, it's we can take time from those that we love, taking time from our friends, taking time from our family, taking time from our employers. And so these are just ways in this world that we can be stealing. And another way is not paying back to those that we borrow from, or that if someone loans us some money, or again, time, and it's not giving them back what we took from them or borrowed from them. And then this one is probably more so in schools or whatnot, but plagiarism. It's stealing. It's stealing thoughts and words from other writers and trying to get credit for them in the school. And then there's even one of using false measurements. And so like there's stories of the old times when people would go into the market. When they would buy grain or buy things from the market, they would have the scales. And there's stories of people using false weights to have something pretend to be weighing more than what it was that they were buying. And they were, in a sense, making their customer pay more than what they should have been. And so these are just ways that in this time, in this world, of what it is that stealing looks like. And this is what Paul, as he's writing to the Ephesians, he's telling them, those who stole, steal no more. Don't do it. Don't do it anymore. And it's something that it even goes back to the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 15, we see that when God gave Moses the law, we see even in there the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And so we know stealing's wrong, we know stealing's bad, and it's wrong when we look at it. And Paul here, as he's writing to the folks here, he's challenging them with that those who stole steal no more. Because whether they had a tendency to be stealing from their friends, the other locals there, they were challenged to steal no more. And so the seriousness of this is real. And we would see this in Acts with Ananias and Sapphira. They, in giving to the church, they kept back from the amount that they said they were. So they were stealing, they were lying. And we would see the seriousness of it, and that both of them were struck down dead. And so stealing can lead to very serious consequences. And I'm reminded of my own life between grade 5 and grade 7. Walking home from school, there was a Toronto Sun newspaper box that like you would put a loony or a toonie in to buy a newspaper. But me and my friends, we figured out a way that you could open this newspaper box without putting money in. And looking back, it's not a moment that I'm proud of in my life, because many times walking home, we would steal the Toronto Sun newspaper, and I would get it to read the news on the Toronto Maple Leafs, read the sports highlights and stuff about them, the Blue Jays, the Raptors. But it was stealing. I was stealing from the Toronto Sun Corporation, and it's not a moment that I'm proud of. And it's an example of how this first part of this verse, let him who steals or stole steal no more. And it finally became convicted and really hit me later on in grade 7 and grade 8 that I shouldn't be doing this anymore. I need to stop doing that. And there's also other stuff that I was doing with the newspaper that I shouldn't have been doing. Stealing. But anyway, so stealing, it's in our inner hearts, our old natures. Our sin has been described, I've heard it, as our selfish, independent nature. And so stealing comes from that old desire that we have. And in putting off our old man and putting off that old desires, this is something that we should be not doing anymore. And so leading into the next point of we are to be working with our hands so that we can have the means to give to those who are in need. This is the next part of this verse, and it's such a neat challenge, because there's always in this world, we always have a lesson of not doing something and turning to doing something else. And oftentimes in the Christian life, it takes it one step further. And so Paul, we see that here, in that with the challenge of stealing no more, but then he goes on, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So it's not just that we're to not steal anymore and be working with our hands, working the things which is good. But he takes it even further, that we are to be working in a way that we have the means to give to those who are in need. We're to take the not stealing anymore, not hoarding for ourselves, but having that so that we can share and give to those who are in need. And it really brings us back to that childhood lesson of it is better to give than to receive. Like as a kid, you're always taught it's better to share than to keep for yourselves. And it is I know as a kid it was something that I struggled with, and I'm sure we all can look back on our childhood, and that lesson was always a hard one to come to grips with. Like I had this toy and I want to be playing with it, and my friend sees this toy and he's like, he wants to play with me with this toy. And it's just like, no, I want to play with it by myself. And it's a lesson that as a kid, it's hard to learn, but it's these hard lessons that helps us grow and become more and more like Christ. And so back to the working with our hands, working so that we have that to give. I love this quote by this older gentleman. He's not with us anymore. He lived in the late 19th century, early 20th century. His name was Anthony Norris Groves, and there's a book out there, Father of Faith Missions. And if you ever come across it, I highly recommend reading it. It's a great biography on this man, and he was very influential in the life of George Mueller, even William Kelly and John Darby back then. And he was quoted in saying, "We ought to work hard, consume little, give much, let all be to Christ." And when I read that, it hit me hard that that not only is he saying like we ought to work hard, consume little, and give much, but I really loved how he ended that quote with, let all be to Christ. Ultimately, everything that we have comes from our Father, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should be letting it all be to him, working hard, consuming little, giving much, and letting all be to Christ. And so this is the attitude that we should be having, and how we've put off that old man, we've put off that old nature. We're putting on this new way of working hard so that we can have the means to give to others, to give much, and to let it all be for Christ. And so we have examples of those who are working for us, and the examples for us. And we have a prime example is the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked probably from when he was a young teenager to 30. He worked as a carpenter. He worked with his hands. And I'm sure he lived out a way of whatever he did, that whatever he gained from working, he was sharing with others, because he was God manifested in the flesh. We have that example of him working. And even through the 3-year ministry, we see him working with his hands, working miracles, and giving to those around him. And so we have that example that we can be following. And another example we see is Paul. We see it all through the Acts and the epistles, that when he needed to work with his hands, when he needed to work to provide for himself, to provide for those around him, he would be a tent maker. He would work to provide. He would work to give to those around him. And then even we see an example in Acts 16 with Lydia. She was a seller of purple. She was known for being a hard-working woman. And so we need to remind ourselves, too, that work was not a result of the curse. And our brother Ken, a couple weeks ago, delved into that. He shared that it wasn't a result of sin, the curse, that we needed to be working. Adam, even before he was given the command to not eat from the tree, and during that, he was given tasks to keep the garden, to work in it, to till it, we even have that he named, we can assume that he named all the animals, and he was working in the garden, keeping it way before the fall. And so work is a good thing. Work is not a result of the curse. And then even God himself worked 6 days in creating the universe. He worked for 6 days and then he would rest on the seventh. So we have that example. So work is good. And it's when we have the desire to do good for the Lord and to serve others, this is the attitude that we should be having. So not doing the wrong, not doing what our old self desires, but desiring to do what the Lord wants. That work is good. And we would even see, and our brother Ken even shared it too 2 weeks ago, and our brother Dan shared it last week, and how we were created for good works. We were created to serve him. We were created for good works. And we see that in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so we ought to be working, and we ought not to be stealing, because stealing, again, as we look back, stealing is wrong. Stealing disobeys how God wants us to be living. And again, it comes back to that childhood lesson that it is better to share, better to give than to keep for ourselves. And so back to how work is good, we see this in 1 Timothy 6:18, that it would read, let them do good, that they would be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Luke 3:11, that children's chorus we sing, it's beautifully written, the song with how if anyone has 2 shirts, he should give to the one who has none. And if you have extra food, do the same. We're to be working to share with others, working to share with those who are in need. In Acts 20:35, would read, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you may be willing and able to support the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse reads. And it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we see that in Acts 20:35. And that phrase, that it is more blessed to give than to receive, Paul was quoting the words of the Lord. And I know, as I got looking at that, I even asked myself, I don't remember reading that exact phrase in the Gospels. And if you're asking yourselves that same question, it's because that phrase, word for word, is not in the Gospels. It was something that was spoken to Paul through his visions or through other things, but we do see that thought, that theme, all throughout the Gospels, all throughout the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so this challenge, letting him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that they may have to give to him that needeth. Work is good. We're to be working so that we have the means to give to those who are in need. And then on to our point three. What does this change? What does this look like in the life of a believer? Well, we have an example in, if you want to turn there, we can go to Luke 19. And it's about the conversion of Zacchaeus. And I'll read the passage here, Luke 19:1-10. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there is a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way of the Lord. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So we see here Zacchaeus, and if we know our history, most tax collectors, they were known for taking more money from the people than what they owed, than what they really needed to pay for the government. And so Zacchaeus, however long he was a tax collector, he was known for stealing. He was known for living that life, being a sinner. And those around, as they would, in a way, complain amongst themselves that the Lord Jesus is going to be with a sinner, this man is known for stealing from us. And then we see the change in Zacchaeus, that he is going to give to the poor. And if he has taken anything from anybody, he was going to return it fourfold. So what a beautiful picture of how this can look like in our lives. And another example I want to share is a friend of mine from North Carolina, from down in the States. He's now a missionary in Africa and does full-time preaching. But before he was a believer, before he got saved, he was a known criminal in the state of North Carolina. He stole many things from electronic stores, grocery stores even. And at one point he said he had close to $100,000 worth of goods in his apartment building. And then his life completely changed on 9/11 when we all know that awful day in New York City when the towers were hit. But that day, he views it as God getting a hold of his life. And it was after that that he would put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd reach out to, he had people that were ministering to him when he was in jail and he was released. And he even got to a point of how his life had turned around, that he had put off stealing and was working, that he ended up receiving a pardon in the state of North Carolina. And he was supposed to come up to Camp Galilee the one year to speak at youth camp, but the pardon wasn't completed yet, and Canada didn't let him in. But he was supposed to come up, and I got to know him when I was down in the States doing the Good News on the Move, and got talking with him. And he shared his testimony with our team, and then we got talking about how he was supposed to come up to camp. And I was like, yeah, we're all looking forward to you. And you were very highly recommended by Scott DeGroff, who had recommended you to come up. So now this man is now a missionary serving the Lord in Africa. And just his life, as we look back on it, as he looks back on it, he sees that challenge in Ephesians 4:28 of letting him who stole, and he was one who he stole on a regular basis. So steal no more, but rather working with your hands the thing which is good, to have that which you can give to those who are in need. So this is what it can look like in our life. And so in closing, the last point I'm going to leave you with is a warning and an application. And so the warning is that in stealing no more, to putting our focus on working hard, working for the Lord, doing that which is good, there are areas that in this world that we can avoid for work. There's things that, yes, it's a job that's out in the world, but it's not a glorifying job to the Lord. So we have this warning to avoid that, and even to becoming a workaholic, as some people would describe it, and that I've seen some people, and they're so focused and entranced in their work. And I'm sure we all know these people, and in our jobs and places that we've worked at, or people that we have come across with. They're so caught up in their work that they have no time for their families. They have no time for their friends. They're so caught up in that it takes 100% of their time and of their effort for them to be so focused on their work that it takes time away from what's needed. And so that's the warning I want to leave us with, is to not be so entranced with our work that we have no time for anything else, because that in itself is like the second aspect of stealing, that it's taken time. It's taken time, money away from our friends and family. And it even goes to taking time and money from our employers. If we're being paid to do that job, and we're doing other things with that time, we shouldn't be doing that. And so back to this in closing of the warning of not becoming a workaholic. We're to live a life glorifying to the Lord. We're to live a life glorifying to our Father, honoring Him in all that we do. And that's from our thought life, our work life, and our family life. And so back to the crux of this chapter, even, that we need to be putting others first before ourselves. We need to be putting on that new man, living in a way that it, it has no desires of our old self. We're to lay that aside. And as Dan shared last week from Hebrews, lay aside everything that ensnares us and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we're to labor, working with our hands, the thing which is good, so that we can share with those who are in need. We all know those people. We all have ones that we can help. And so we're to work so that we have the means to share with them. And so just going to read the verse again. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let's really focus on working for the Lord, living for him, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and working for him so that we can give to those who are in need, that we can give to those that need the help. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us here, Lord. And Father, what a privilege it is that we're going to have in a short while to remember your Son. And so, Father, as we go from here, as we go into that portion of the meeting, help us to focus on you, Lord. And as we go into the world, Lord, help us to put off the old man, put on the new man, live for you. And as Dan was even sharing last week, to be clothed in righteousness, as Peter would write to in his epistle, to be clothed in righteousness, to be clothed in humility, living for you, putting off that old man, stealing no more, working hard so that we can share with those who need it, Lord. So, Father, this challenge has been given to me. I know it's been a whirlwind looking into this and being challenged by this, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that there's a challenge for each and every one of us here and a reminder, Lord. So, Father, as we go from here, as we go into the next meeting, again, we want you to be honored. We want you to be glorified. And, Father, we know that the only reason we're here is because of your Son. And, Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for sending your Son to be our sacrifice, to be our example, that we can have a man that we can look up to, that we can look up to you, a God-man, that we would have someone to follow, Lord. So, Father, we give you thanks for this, and we ask for your help in all this. And we just ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.